Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
And questions are powerful things. They unlock all sorts of information that we would not have otherwise if we just asked the question. But you have lived long enough, I know, and you've experienced enough, I am sure, that there are some questions that you've asked that do not have easily definable or identifiable answers. Questions like, why did that tragedy occur? Questions like, why does someone live to an advanced age and seemingly living a life of basically ease, it from our point of view anyway, and then someone else has a life filled with tragedy and difficulty? Or maybe even more difficult, why does someone's life end, from our point of view, shockingly in a short period of time? We have these questions that we don't have answers for, and they usually coalesce around not the what somewhat, but not necessarily the who or the where or the when, but it's the questions that revolve around the why that bother us the most. It seems like the why question is the question that hits first and lingers the longest. Because we as people of faith know that God can do anything, right? I mean, maybe the why question or the unanswered question is, why this potential, or sometimes why this diagnosis? Why this set of circumstances? Because we open the Bible and we read in Scripture that when Jesus was on the earth, the same Jesus that we follow and love, when Jesus was on the earth, somebody who could not walk could be instantaneously healed. Someone who could not hear could have their hearing restored. That the blind could see. And even the dead would respond to His call back to life. And we know He could do it. We know that it's not a question of ability. But God sometimes chooses not to intervene. God does not stop everything that is hurtful and harmful. And we're left with questions. Well, I'm thankful that tucked into the last verse of Deuteronomy chapter 29 is a little section of truth that is plugged in. Now, it's plugged in at an interesting place because this entire chapter, in fact, this entire book, is about the covenant and God reestablishing His covenant with Israel. You recall that after spending a long period of time in captivity, God finally comes and delivers His people and all of those amazing things that happened in Egypt. And God leads them in the wilderness and leads them through the dry land on the surface of the Red Sea, and as He parts the waters, God destroys their enemies. And He enters this covenant with them, but you remember, because of their disobedience and their refusal to take the next step into the land of promise, wasting time, it would appear to us, in the wilderness until that generation was gone. And now a new generation, that's really the book of Deuteronomy. God is now talking to this new generation, telling them, this is the covenant. I want to enter into this with you. I want to have this relationship with you, and I want you to observe it, and I want you to keep the requirements of it. And the second half of this verse we're about to look at, it's pretty understandable. But at the beginning of this verse, He says this. And if you have your Bible, read it. If not, it's on the screen in front of you. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The second part we understand. He's revealed certain things. We have certain responsibilities. But seemingly, almost oddly from our point of view, it's kind of inserted into the text, He makes this little statement. The secret things, those unanswered questions, those things that we wonder about and we ask about and we think about, that there is no definable answer. The secret things, He says, they belong to Me. Let's just think about that and let's meditate on that a little bit. And then I think we can find some practical outworking from that. First of all, you can just say simply this. There are some things that are secret. There's no shock. It says it in the text and we know it by our experience. It is quiet. They're not revealed. The secret things. You have your list, and I would encourage you this morning as we go through this passage of Scripture that you, at least mentally, that you sort of assemble your list of those secret things. And then lay God's holy word over that list, and I think you'll find some encouragement and some instruction this morning. But notice this phrase, the secret things belong, the first of two times that word appears in this verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. They belong to the Lord. Notice it doesn't say he just is aware of them or he notes that they exist. No, it says they belong to him. He takes ownership of them. He reserves in his sovereign, powerful, almighty knowledge to reserve those things for his use and his alone. And he doesn't owe us any explanations. It's just what he has. They belong to him. I suspect that one of the reasons God does not reveal more secrets to us, knowing a little bit about humanity and knowing about our tendencies, I think if we knew more, we'd probably just abuse it and misuse it. So it's probably a very gracious thing, even though it may not seem like it on the surface, that God says, these things belong to me, and I'm not going to share them with you. Because oftentimes when we assume the role of God, now we don't really do that, but in our thinking we might be the judge or the jury of other people, where we might think that we should control everything. When we in our minds step into that role, we invariably mess it up. It's kind of a story I heard of a mother. She was fixing breakfast for her two sons. And as she's fixing breakfast, she hears them start to argue over who should have the first pancake when it's finally prepared. And they both think they deserve it, and they're arguing. It's just kind of it's escalating. And finally, she thinks, this is an opportunity for a spiritual lesson. So she turns to her two sons, and she says, now, if Jesus were at this table, what would he do? I think Jesus would say, here, you have the first pancake. I don't mind waiting. To which the older son looks at his brother and says, Ryan, today you get to be Jesus. See, when we call the shots, or we think we do, invariably we kind of spin that in a direction we shouldn't go. So probably when it says, it belongs to the Lord our God, that is for our well-being on some level. It's not to just God wants to be a bully with his information, that God wants to be stingy with what he knows. He knows how much we can handle. He certainly knows what we cannot handle. But they belong to him. And notice now the next phrase in the verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Notice the personal possessive pronoun there, our God. He's the God that belongs to us, the God that we know about. The God who has delivered us from Egypt. The God who has sustained us in the wilderness. The God who rained manna down every day so we'd have food to eat. The God who brought water from the rock. The God who did all of these amazing miracles on our behalf. It's our God. They belong to our God. Their God is our God as well if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. These things belong to him. We might say it this way. These secret things are in very good hands. So take your questions. Take those questions oftentimes that are revolving around the word why. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did that not work out? Why did I not get to have that opportunity? Why does that hurt so much? Why have I experienced that kind of loss? Why would God allow these sorts of things? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Now, question, how do you handle these secret things? That's what I want to think about. How do we take, this is truth, it's in the Word of God. It is known to us, and he went to the trouble to include it in the sacred text of Scripture so that we would know that the secret things, they belong to God, and we need to respect his authority, and we need to respect his position. They belong to him. They're in good hands because they're in the hands of the Lord our God. Well, first of all, find some comfort here. Find some comfort in knowing that he indeed does own those secret things. It is better for him to keep them. It is better for him to make the decision about what we should know and what we shouldn't know. Have you ever had this experience in life? especially dealing with difficult subjects, maybe subjects that are difficult to process. You know, when we have small children with us, we always are trying to make a decision. How much information should I share? You got to deal with them in truth. You don't deceive them. But at the same time, maybe it'd be better for them not to know everything that could be shared with them. So we kind of judiciously but lovingly decide, okay, this is how much in this situation would it be appropriate for this child to know for their well-being. Find some comfort that God loves His children far more than we could ever love any of our own. It belongs to Him. He owns those secret things, and allow Him to have that privilege. Secondly, find strength in believing that there is indeed a reason, even if that reason escapes us and remains unknown to us. Now, it is difficult to understand that we live with the uncertainty of why and what's the reason, but we can find comfort to know that even if it's unknown to us, that in the secret things that belong to our Lord, we find strength in believing that indeed there is purpose there. There is a God who is in charge, and a God who is working out His purpose in some fashion. Secret to us? Why is that the case? Because the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So there is a reason. Now, there's something future-leaning about this. Because if we believe that there is reason for that which happens, and God owns it, God holds it, God is in charge of it, then it gives us a certain amount of faith and leaning forward that there indeed is purpose and reason. Now, I would caution all of us. And sometimes in our heart's passion to want to help other people, when somebody is dealing with tragedy, sometimes we want to rush in and we want to give them the reason that this happened. Well, the reason God allowed that is because of this over here. And we just try to insert. Now, be careful. Now, it doesn't mean you can't suggest, and maybe what you're suggesting may be right, but I will also say this. Oftentimes, we just don't know the reason. We know that God knows the reason, and there are purposes, but be careful about giving simplistic answers in difficult moments. And sometimes the best thing to say is, I don't know the reason, but God does. Also, be careful about thinking simplistic. You think about this for a moment. Sometimes we think, well, that occurred, so there is a reason that God allowed it to occur or not occur. True. But I think that is even too simplistic in and of itself, because God sees the whole. We're going to look the next time we're together. I want to share with you from Isaiah, where he talks about our ways are not God's ways, and our thoughts are not His high thoughts, and how high His thoughts are beyond us. I mean, He's on a whole different, obviously, a whole different scale than anything we can imagine. And we know so little. In fact, we know so little, we don't even know how little we know. So when we come to say, oh, God allowed that for some reason, probably it should always be for some reasons. Maybe multiples of reasons. Maybe innumerable reasons. Because you understand, none of the actions that are in our lives, none of the events in our lives affect just us. What about the generations that come after us? What about the spread of people in our lives and our experiences? I think whenever God does what He does, we know that there's a reason. Sometimes they're the secret things that belong to the Lord our God. But it's not a reason, but it is the multiplication of the reasons in the infinite, extreme wisdom and knowledge of God Himself. Thirdly, find hope that secrets will be revealed someday in eternity future. Even though that secret things belong to the Lord our God, and they are not revealed to us in present tense, that indeed they will be revealed somehow in some fashion in eternity. And maybe it takes until we are glorified and these bodies are glorified and our minds are purified and the sin nature is eradicated and we are remade into the likeness of the Lord Jesus after His resurrection, then we'll be able to fully process those secret things of God. And part of the reveal and the ultimate purpose of so much is the fact that we spend, as believers, we look forward to this, that we spend eternity in heaven in the presence of God forever. That is indeed, from our point of view, the purpose. The reveal is that people like us, sinners though we are, get a hangout in the holiest place that could ever be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and our belief in His finished work. So it will be revealed. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Know that He owns those secrets. Find comfort in that. Find strength in knowing that there is a reason even if we don't know it. And find hope that those secrets will be revealed someday yet in the future. Let's go back to our verse. Because there's two parts to it. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, comma. Now what occurs after that comma now is on us. This is in our responsibility. He says, but those things which are revealed belong to us. So we can say this, some things are not secret. Some things have been revealed. Some things we could know about. And the key to finding balance in life and really finding a life of faith is those things that belong to God, be okay with that, and the things that belong to us, be responsible for those things. Sometimes we are so fixated on what God may or may not be doing that we just don't do what we're doing today. And the things that are His business are none of our business, ultimately, in this current time frame. So he says, there's some things that are not a secret. But first of all, let's just think our way through this. That they have been revealed. The word revealed is of paramount importance in this text. Which are revealed. The things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. It's not just things that we know. It's not just things that we observe or things that we've figured out. It's things that God has revealed to us through His gracious acts of revealing. Now, there's a few things that we could perhaps figure out about God apart from revelation, apart from direct divine revelation, meaning the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 kind of takes us through this a little bit. But it's basically, we could figure out that we don't exist randomly. There has to be a creator. Now, I know there's people who deny that and just reject the whole idea of a creator, but if you give it some thought, we are so sophisticated and life is so special and the environment is so particularly geared for us to survive that you could reach the conclusion, apart from revelation, that there is a creator. You could probably also reach the conclusion that we are responsible to Him, and you might also reach the conclusion that we have a fundamental problem. Because we look around at ourselves, even in our own hearts, in the behavior of other people, the race of humanity, that we are messed up, okay? We have some serious issues. And you might recognize there's a Creator, we're responsible to Him, we need some help, but that's about where it stops. God has to step in and then tell us, I am that Creator. And He does in the pages of this book. He then steps in and tells us, yes, you indeed are responsible to me, and yes, you are messed up, and it's because you as a race of humanity have rebelled against me, and you are left with the weight and the wages and the price of sin resting upon you. And yes, you need some help from the outside. You need a Savior. And I give you one in the person of my only begotten Son. That's what He's revealed. We need to understand He's revealed these things to us. Now, the things that He's revealed to us, that have been revealed, they belong to us. They are our precious possessions. We should treat the things that have been revealed to us, what I just shared with you and all the rest that are contained in the 66 books that make up the volume that we call the Bible, those things have been given to us. They are our responsibility. He wants us to turn to this source. And thank you for giving an hour of your time on this Sunday morning to come and to gather around the Word of God. This is not wasted time. This is essential time. And we open the Bible and we read it and we study it on our own or as our families or in our groups or our classes. This is what belongs to us. But notice he says, this belongs to us and to our children. Next word is key. Forever. Do you see it there in the text? Forever. Now that word forever is one that is frequently stuck into the Word of God, mentioned in the Word of God, but it's not a word that we are very comfortable using because most of what we have, we know, is not forever. You're all dressed very nicely this morning. You look very good this morning. But whatever you're wearing this morning, probably 5 years from now, and if you take good care of it and it's good quality, maybe you're wearing it 5 years from now. 10 years, maybe not. 50 years, you may not even be here to wear anything, okay? So, everything's going to wear out, right? And there's just this reality that nothing we have is permanent. It doesn't last. It wears out. It needs to be replaced. But he says, what is revealed to you is to you. It belongs to you and your children forever. This is never going to wear out, never need replaced, never need reviewed, never need a second edition. This is what you need. So they belong to you and your children. It's the forever reality. And it's a message that God wants you to pay attention to, especially when it comes to your personal relationship with God. That can only be true through one source and one person, because the Bible declares that there is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. That's it. There's only one way. There's only one Savior. There's only one plan of salvation. There's only one chance. But fortunately, it's a chance that the Word of God is revealed to you, and this is now your responsibility to handle it properly. Believer, God has given us the treasure of the Word of God. Handle it properly. And then he says this in the end of this verse. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. They are given so that we might be obedient. God wants us to do what God wants us to do. God wants us to follow His path and His plan. And God is not bashful about telling us what we should not do and what we should do. Not one of us should be able to plead ignorance, because the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. It's readily available. And we are totally responsible to it. And this is the operation. In the deep questions of life, we leave those things to God. But in the ebb and flow of life, we do what is obedient. Now, those things tie together, frankly. That verse fits as a package. The secret things belong to the Lord. Okay, got that. Leave that in His hands. We operate in faith there. But the things that are revealed, they belong to us. They are our responsibility. So even though we don't know the whys, and we don't know of all the answers, and we don't know in totality the purposes of God and all the things that He does or does not do, what is our responsibility? Make sure that we do the things that He's told us to do. You understand that when tragedy hits, when sorrow hits, when our hearts are struck with grief, one of two things can happen. We can reach the conclusion, God, You've reminded me through this moment of weightiness how desperately I need You. I got to have You. Without You, I have no hope. Without You, I don't have a chance. Lord, I need. And it draws us close to the heart of God, even those things that we do not understand. Or if we allow a root of bitterness to start thriving and making its way through the recesses of our hearts, we can get so dissatisfied. God, why didn't You stop this? Why didn't You allow that? That we become embittered and we become angry at God. And rather than letting this hurtful thing pull us to God, we push away and we isolate ourselves. Make sure, as he says, that we may do all the words of this law. Even though we don't understand, here's what we do know, what has been revealed, that we need to keep following Him, keep trusting in Him, keep praying, keep searching the Scriptures, keep being with His people, keep using our gifts, keep loving each other, and keep believing that His Word is true. Because these things have been revealed, and they belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Well, how do you handle the things that are revealed? Let me just share three quick things with you and have a couple things to summarize. First of all, give thanks for what we do know. Thank You, Lord, that You've revealed. Rather than being irritated by the things we can't know. Thank you, Lord, that you do tell us what we can know. Thank you that you can tell us that you are real, and we know that you are all-powerful, and you are present with us, and you're all-wise, and every word you've ever spoken, God, that we can depend on it. It is true. Thank you that you did not leave us in the terror of ignorance, but you brought us into the joy that a knowledge, as much as we can know of you, has been offered to us in this gift of revelation. Thank you, Lord, for what you allow us to know. Secondly, fall back on what you know to be true. When the bottom drops out and you feel like you're falling, make sure you land on the reality that these things that you know from the Word of God, you know to be true. And maybe you need to make a list of those things you personally know to be true. Some of you I know journal and you write things and you do that regularly. I encourage you to make this part of your journaling experience. For some of us, just make this list and tuck it away. Just leave everybody else out of it, but just these are the things I know to be true. And start at the very basics. The very basic issues of life. Number one, there is a God. I know that to be true. I know that he made me just the way he wanted me to be. I know that to be true. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know without a Savior in the person of Jesus Christ, I'm lost. I know that I'm saved because of what Jesus did. I know that God is loving and merciful and patient. I'm going to stop there because I want you to make your own list, okay? But have that as a resource that when the bottom drops out, you land in this reality of these things are true because God has revealed them and you can always count on them. Thirdly, remain obedient even when God continues to be silent. Why? It's verse 29 of Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things that which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have anything to fall back on. You have to have something to fall back on. You have to have that which is true. And here's where you begin. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, here's where you begin. You have to understand that because of sin, you're separated from God and you need a Savior. You can't do it on your own. You can't reform yourself. You can't change everything. You can't change your destiny. You need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to come to a moment in your life that you say, I need a Savior, Jesus is that Savior, and I, in an act of faith, just say, I believe that. You don't earn it, you don't gain it, you don't work for it, you just take it. If you're here this morning and that's where you are, the conclusion of the service, even while we're singing our last song, I'd encourage you to make your way to the front. Pastor Adam, Pastor Tim will be here at the front. I'll be at the back. We'd love to pray with you, answer your questions. Maybe you come with a Christian friend. Maybe someone's invited you to be here at church today. And maybe you'd feel comfortable saying, you know, that stuff that Pastor Wagner was talking about being saved, would you share with me what that means? And someone will open the scriptures and talk to you and share their story, and you can become a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, we know the secret things belong to the Lord. We need to be okay with that. In summary, I'd just say it with this. Don't mess with the things that belong to God. Leave them in His hands. And make sure that you and I, as followers of Christ, that we take care of what does belong to us, which is what He's revealed in the Word of God.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.